Welcome to the Humanize podcast, all about personalizing your health. I am your host, Rebecca Kelly. I'm very excited to actually have Dr. Joe Pizzarno. But before I introduce Dr. Joe, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to get all of our variety of casts in audio, in video, transcription at humanizedhealth.com. I'd also like to thank our lead sponsor, Village Green Apothecary, at myvillagegreen.com. So our guest, Dr. Joe Pizzarno, is the founding president at Bastyr University, current chairman of the Institute of Functional Medicine, and author of many top-selling books on evidence-based natural medicine, including The Toxin Solution and the Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine, having sold more than 2 million books. Dr. Joe will be talking on the consequences of chemically grown food, and how foods are the biggest driver of toxins. Welcome, Dr. Joe. And I just wanted to point out that I have both of those books myself of my my bookcase. So I'm one of the 2 million who bought it. And actually, I've used it so much. I'm so grateful and appreciative. Thank you so much for bringing your knowledge and sharing it and allowing someone like me to really help understand and dive deep and get to great health. So the first topic or the first question.
Well, first, let me say, thank you. Yes. It's great to hear. That's why Mike and I wrote the book.
Yes.
And part of the good news is that it's now been translated into 6 languages. So we're now helping people, not only English-speaking people, but people throughout the world. So it's very, very
well, I'm just grateful to you. And I just wanted to let you know, personally, it's really impacted my life and made it just so much better. And I've shared it with friends and loved ones. And I just wanted to share my appreciation. It's actually quite an honor to be able to talk to you today. So thanks so much. So anyway, I want to now focus on what you can share also more knowledge, which I'm very excited to learn about. But we want to focus on what is being done to our food and what it may be doing to us. And specifically, the question is, what chemicals have you examined in your research regarding foods that farmers grow?
So one of the challenges we have is that as we've started to use chemicals to grow our food in larger amounts and require less labor, you might say, there's been some unexpected consequences. And those unexpected consequences are that the chemicals we're using to grow the foods are still in the foods. And these chemicals range from things that we can get rid of very easily, what we call non-persistent toxins, but they have some things that are actually very persistent and very hard to get out of the body. So we look at a food, if it's grown organically, what we'll see in that food is that there's less metals in the food and less chemicals in the food and more nutrients. Mm-hmm. Whereas food grown chemically, it has things like cadmium in it, has organophosphate pesticides that are neurotoxins, has organochlorine pesticides that are neurotoxins. I can go through the list, but as near as I can tell, about 60% of the toxic environmental metals and chemicals that people are exposed to today come from the food we're eating.
Oh my gosh. Kind of blows my mind. Are there some chemicals that are worse than others?
So, yes, but it makes it more difficult to answer that because there's a huge variance in people's susceptibility to the toxins based on their genetics and based on their nutritional status. So, for example, if a person is deficient in B vitamins, which is surprisingly common, they're way more toxic to arsenic because we need methyl groups that are created by B vitamins to get the arsenic out of the body.
Right.
Now, another group are the organophosphate pesticides. So these are neurotoxins, okay? Well, some people have a deficiency in the enzyme, key enzyme in the liver, that's responsible for breaking down those neurotoxic chemicals to get them out of the body. So huge variations in genetics. I think that's one reason why the medical community has been slow to recognize these problems, because they kind of look at, you might say, generic information, kind of general population things.
Right.
Well, the general population things may say, well, an average man is not that bad, but for specific individuals, they're terrible.
Right.
And so I would assume
outliers. Yes. Yeah.
Well, yeah, quote outliers, but it turns out the big portion of the population. Sure. I would assert that maybe as much as 1/2 of all chronic disease is due to environmental toxins. And so if we can stop our exposure to these toxins, get them out of the body, we can make a huge impact on people's health.
Wow. It just kind of blows my mind. So in your research, what has it revealed? And I might say this, I'm a voracious reader, so a lot of times I don't always understand how to pronounce something, but I recognize it, right?
I have that challenge too.
Glyphosate, am I saying it right?
Glyphosate.
Glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup for producing GMO foods, or when it's used as a desiccant or drying agent, right? In oats and other grains. What have you found out?
I would recommend you read the research of Gilles Seralini, a PhD out of France, who did the research on glyphosate and the industrial products using glyphosate. Mm-hmm. It's an important differentiation. Glyphosate as a chemical has some toxicities, not terrible. But glyphosate as an industrial chemical has a lot of toxicity. So you look at the work that Dr. Seralini, and he showed while you have a certain level of toxicity with glyphosate, the actual industrial product is 1,000 times more toxic. So wow. The glyphosate safety was used to justify the product, but it's only 50% of the actual industrial product. And because of international treaties, the manufacturers do not need to disclose their trade secrets, right, which is what that other 50% is. And it's way more toxic.
What do you think the consequences of chemically grown food to human health and or to livestock, right? Which a lot of times we consume either the products from the livestock or the actual product that is the livestock.
Yes, yes. Well, virtually every disease. So I think people are aware we're having an epidemic of diabetes in our country. Yes. When I was in naturopathic medical school half a century ago, diabetes affected less than 1% of the population. Mm-hmm. I remember, it took me 1 year in practice before I saw my first diabetic patient. You might say, well, I'm a young practitioner, not very busy. I was fully booked within 6 months. Within a year, I had a three-month waiting list, okay?
Wow.
People really wanted nutritional medicine.
Wow.
Anyway, so it took a year before I saw my first diabetic patient. Now it affects about 10% of the population, and one out of three people are projected to get diabetes in their lifetime.
Yes.
What happened? Our genetics didn't change. And you know, people like us who are very nutritionally oriented would say, well, we're consuming too much sugar.
Right.
Yes, we're consuming too much sugar. But if you look at the growth of sugar consumption and look at the incidence of diabetes, they don't correlate.
Really?
We started consuming too much sugar decades before we saw the diabetes epidemic. So it doesn't correlate. Then you say, well, what does correlate? Obesity. No question about it. Obese people have dramatically more diabetes. Therefore, it must be obesity. But here's the kicker. Obese people in the bottom 20% of body load of environmental metals and chemicals have no increased incidence of diabetes. You hear what I just said? Everybody knows obese people have way more diabetes. But if that fat is not full of toxins, they don't get the diabetes. So I want to be clear. I'm not saying it's okay to be morbidly obese. That will cause problems on its own. But as the explanation for the diabetes epidemic, no. It's almost entirely environmental chemicals and metals.
That blows my mind. And I actually recently lost 20 pounds because I was becoming pre-diabetic at 20 pounds. And suddenly my sugars caught me. And I don't eat sugar. And so I was like, this doesn't make sense. I don't eat sugar. That's amazing. Wow. What a finding. Can you compare and contrast the nutritional quality of chemically grown produce versus organic produce?
So this is actually a little tricky. And it's only been the last year that I've finally understood and delved deeply into a pretty important factor. So when you look at the vitamin and mineral content of organically grown foods versus chemically grown foods, it's clearly better. Not dramatically better, but clearly better. When we look at the research comparing people who eat organically grown foods versus those who eat chemically grown foods, they have a lot of health benefits. Mm. And the nutritional differences aren't enough to explain it. So as we were having this huge pandemic now with the COVID-19, and I started diving into the research, and early on, there was some interesting research on the use of hydroxychloroquine plus zinc in the treatment. And now, while some of the research was shown that it didn't work early on, most of that research has now been retracted because it turns out it does work early on. Late disease doesn't work. Early disease does work. So a mechanism that was proposed for why it works was that hydroxychloroquine acted as an ionophore for zinc. What that means is it helps the cells absorb zinc more efficiently, because when zinc is in the cells, that's when it stops the virus from taking over the cellular machinery to reproduce itself. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's one of our main ways to protect ourselves. So then I was mentioning this to my friend, Dr. Michael Murray, whom I hope you've interviewed because he's incredibly knowledgeable. Okay. Yeah. And that's why we've written, you know, two books together. He said, well, you know, bioflavonoids do that as well. I said, well, that's interesting. I know that bioflavonoids are antiviral.
Right.
And now bioflavonoids actually help take zinc into the cells. I looked at the research on that. And yeah, of course, Mike was right. Then I thought, well, is there a difference in bioflavonoid content between organically grown foods and chemically grown foods? And the research I found was stunning. Many of these carotenoids and flavonoids that plants produce themselves to protect themselves from viral infections, bacterial infections, insects, cancer, ultraviolet damage from the sun, well, when we consume those molecules, they help us as well. So you look at organically grown versus chemically grown foods, many of these molecules are not only present in chemically grown foods at lower levels, some aren't even in them anymore. And it turns out that the molecules that were maintained were those that help give the food its characteristic color. But all these other carotenoids and flavonoids that are so critical, not just for the plant's health, but for those of us who are eating those plants, they're gone. So it's not only vitamins and minerals, it's a loss of all these other molecules. So I've actually created a brand new lecture that I just gave for the first time a couple months ago. I'm entitled Unimportant Molecules, because we've decided inexplicably that only less than 50 molecules in food are important, vitamins and minerals, and molecules and elements, I should say. Vitamins and minerals are important. We decided that 99.9% of the molecules in food are not important. So therefore, when they were lost from chemically growing, it didn't matter because they weren't important. Turns out they're hugely important. So going back to COVID-19, well, so these molecules that normally help protect us from viruses, both directly by being antiviral and indirectly by getting zinc into cells, they're not there anymore. So we're going to see, my prediction is, more and more epidemics and pandemics because we've lost so many protective mechanisms.
Wow. Oh, they literally are the lost molecules, and it's affecting us. It's amazing. So one last question. Can you compare and contrast the nutritional quality of livestock that is fed chemicals in their feed versus livestock that are not consuming chemicals in their feed?
I assume you could. I haven't looked at that research directly. Rather, I just looked at the impact of what happens to people who eat these things. So I can't tell you the exact numbers in each one of them. Don't know.
Understand. Thank you so much. That was just amazingly enlightening. And so my next question would be, you know, in summing this up, right, if there's like some key takeaways that our listeners or viewers, you'd want to make sure that they own and have, what would those summary points be?
Okay. So, you know, I'm an naturopathic doctor. So I believe the body has tremendous ability to heal itself if we just give it a chance. What's that giving it a chance mean? So we naturopaths say, well, remove the blockages to cure. Okay, so what's that mean? Well, our bodies are enzyme machines. And for them to work, you have to have the vitamins and minerals for the enzymes to work. But you have to not have the toxins there that poison the enzymes, our bodies don't work. So when we look at how to live healthfully, we need to live a life where we limit our exposure to toxins as much as possible and eat foods that are rich in nutrients. So how do you do that? Well, you want to eat organically grown foods, but preferably organically grown foods grown from heirloom seeds. Because as we've modified our food supply to give more of one particular molecule we want, like more protein, for example, then necessarily the plant's going to produce less of other molecules that we didn't think were important. Now we know they're important. So the older the seeds we have, the more diversity of molecules that they have. And this is one reason why organically grown foods taste so much better than chemically grown foods, because they have all these other molecules, and our body likes them. If I said, wow, this tastes good, it has all these molecules in it that are important. It's more than just, our bodies are sensing more than just salt and things like that. And sweet. We actually are able to detect a lot of other factors. So bottom line, get nutrients in, keep toxins out.
Seems so simple when you say it like that. Yes. Thanks, Dr. Joe. These are really valuable insights. Dr. Joe can be found at
drpizzorno.com. I've got a website, which I have to do better at maintaining.
Let me remind you to subscribe and get access to all Humanized videos, podcasts, and transcriptions for all our thought leaders on personalized health at humanizedhealth.com. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.